How's everybody doing? This is DJ Duncan. You're live with On the Bounce here talking about basketball. On the show today, I have my good buddy here, Russell.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Russ. I appreciate you coming on. This is your second time on the show. First time was a good success. We had some good moments talking about KG and Tim Duncan, you know, analyzing their kind of history that they made. We have some interesting topics today as well. We're going to be talking about Ray Allen announcing his retirement. Sad, sad news. We're going to be talking about the updated scores, top performers that were in game one of their NBA careers, rookies, all as well as the, you know, the guys who have been in the league for a while. James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, all went off. So we're going to be talking about them. Who's the teams to look out for? Who are the sleepers, kind of, right as a bat? Multi-year contracts have been extended as the teams are wanting to go forward with these players. So we're going to be having some interesting topics here on the show today. Thanks for coming. Let's kick it off. We're going to be talking about Ray Allen first. Ray Allen, sad, sad news. He hasn't played for 2 years. You know, hasn't been picked up on the team. You know, is still thinking about where he should go. Still interested in other teams, you know, talk to people's managers, talk to them, seeing what he could do. But he didn't return, announced his retirement today. It's a sad day for the NBA. You know, what are your thoughts on this, Russ?
Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Yep.
The man. No, yeah. Like, there's, like, I know reading about it because one of the teams he was, like, talking to was the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, reading about it during that time. He was just telling teams that he's been staying in shape and that he's still in, like, tip-top shape to play in the NBA. He just hadn't decided, like, what team was the right fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and then today he ultimately just decided to walk away from the game as a whole. I guess it was just time. It was hard to see, like, Tim Duncan and, like, KG and them and Kobe, guys he's, like, been in the league with since he came in like, kind of go away.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that kind of, like, played a factor because he didn't really have that veteran core group of guys that he kind of was around coming up in the league. And, I mean, and just being around a bunch of other younger guys.
I definitely feel like with the past 2 years that he could have played, you know, definitely for a team in the Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors, all teams that have star players on their team, and he could play that role that he likes to play these past years. You know, we saw him fall into with the Miami Heat.
Catch and shoot guy.
Yeah, he could have been a very good player for one of these teams, and he just decided not to. Do you think he'll ever regret that decision?
Maybe.
41 years of age, you know, he got some time. He's a pretty successful man.
Like the role like you're talking about that he plays wouldn't really be a crazy, like burden on his body.
Yeah.
You know? All he has to really do is just hit the drift corner.
Maintain
a
jumper, yeah.
And hit a jumper.
Yeah.
Like a jumper or two a game, really. Hmm. He definitely could have done that. I think he might regret it because he for sure could have got multiple rings. But I think he was just happy with how his career had been.
So he only
was happy with his legacy, I guess.
Came out with 2 championships. You know, one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time. Stephen Curry is the only current player who stands a chance of topping him when he's on course of doing so. Well, he was really, really a great shooter, and he really changed his game throughout his career, which is really crazy. We don't see many guys being so successful at it. You know, they attempt to do it, obviously, but...
No, yeah, definitely.
He was a dunker when he first came into the league.
Yeah, like, he had game. Like, he had, like, Kobe game low-key when he came in the league. Like,
yeah.
Like, just scorer mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, he just... I guess he just saw that was, like, a better route for him to just become But he was, like, a crazy jump-shooting kind of guy, too.
Yeah.
Not, like, on the level, like, Steph Curry with the handle and everything, but it was, mm-hmm. like, a bunch of, like,
knockdown.
Just screens and, like, he'll come and cash it. And he was hitting at, like, a high rate, too, so... Yeah, he did change up his game. But, I definitely agree with what you're saying.
Now, he will forever be known as the shooter that hit the game tying three pointer in game six. I'm gonna play you guys a little clip for the fans.
Foul. Should Miami go for the three right away? Just attack the basket.
LeBron James shoots the three.
Puts up a three. Long go. Rebound Bosh. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining. Spurs do not have a timeout.
Ties the game. 95-95 in the fourth quarter. You know, 5 seconds left, and they eventually go to overtime, win the game. Everybody's saying LeBron James should be texting Ray Allen every single day, thanking him, you know, for one of his rings, because he was responsible for that shot. LeBron James came, missed the shot. Chris Bosh with the rebound and kicks it out to the corner. Crazy, crazy shot. He's known as one of those clutch players. He's been for Boston, you know, for many years, and having the record of 2,973 three-pointers made, you know, it's crazy, you know, to think that he was really an explosive and athletic guy coming into the league, able to change his game into the one of the greatest three-point shooters, because he wasn't as big. He was probably about 6'6", I believe, as a shooting guard. And he wrote a letter to his younger self in the NBA. Really inspiring. Not really going to talk about it on the show, but if you get a chance, definitely check that out. It's not a lengthy article, but it's definitely something, you know, that you could relate to being a basketball player and learning what he kind of went through. So that's the first topic of the day. Ray Allen, you will be missed throughout the NBA. Definitely wish I could have seen you in a Cleveland Cavs jersey. That would have been nice. On to the next topic. We have multi-year contracts. Teams are, you know, wanting to sign these players, get them for sure, get their mindset right, focus on the game, really, and giving them a chance of, you know, really that the organization is behind them. We have Cody Zeller saying the new $56 million extension is crazy. But Victor Oladipo, Steven Adams, you know, Cody Zeller, 4 year, Rudy Gobert. It's big for a player to get kind of like the organization behind them. Don't you think it's a good time to sign these kind of players and role players that could potentially be good for you?
I think locking them up. A lot of these guys are like rookie contracts have came up, and it was the time for the team to decide if they were going to pick up their option,
mm-hmm.
and if they saw like a higher value in them, and so like these higher contracts are definitely like signs that the organization definitely enjoys and is happy with the way that person is producing for their team.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them I think are just a little bit overpaid. Like, I mean, Cody Zeller's great, but he only really averages like 5 points, and, you know, I mean, he is a role player, but he's making $50 million, you know.
Yeah.
Like, a good signing was Rudy Gobert, because he is that new type of NBA center that is a rim protector, a pick and roll kind of guy.
Yeah.
Kind of following like that DeAndre trend. The Oladipo one's a great one too, because that shows up their really athletic backcourt with Russ right now, kind of trying to keep Russ happy, because he could kind of opt out and become a free agent. So that's just something to help keep Russ, and is a good signing because Oladipo is really good.
Yeah, Oladipo is going to be a key guy for them. Steven Adams, my boy.
Yeah. That's another good one. Yeah.
You know, he appeared in 234 games last year. 170 starting, averaged 6.6 rebounds, a block in 21 minutes. The New Zealand native was big for them, you know, and he was a part of the Rising Star Challenge of All-Star Weekend. And, you know, now he's averaging 13 points and 9 rebounds in 34 minutes of action. You know, so that's
nice.
That's a great addition for the Thunder. And what they're gonna get out of Steven Adams. He was a 12th overall pick in the 2013. So like you said, the rookie contracts are, some of them are being over of the past years, you know, and this is big for the Thunder, definitely to get the guys behind, you know, Russell Westbrook and really try to make a push, because, you know, Russell has showed that he could play, you know, in the past games. He's been putting up numbers these past three games, but he's definitely going to be needing some help along the way once he plays those big teams, you know, with the San Antonio Spurs, Warriors, Houston Rockets later on in this in the year. So multi-year contracts definitely help teams in what they're doing with recruiting players down the line, and, you know, what they can do in the future. So we got some crazy news from the league in the past three games. DeMarcus Cousins throwing a mouthpiece, you know, into the stands. He's been fined $25,000 and assisted technical foul for throwing his mouthpiece and entering the spectator stands. It was announced Monday by the vice president of the NBA. It remained with 37 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter. You know, the Sacramento's 106-103 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, on October 29th. What's up with DeMarcus Cousins, Russ? What?
I think he just needs to change the scenery. you got to be able to keep your head, you know, keep your cool. You got a lot of people watching you. Kids look up to you, definitely, you know. But I think he's just at a point where he just needs to change the scenery, because it's getting a little out of hand and it's getting a little, like, old. Because I think he's really talented, and I don't think he needs these negative things to take away from, like, his game.
Yeah.
And I think his game and, like, his talent is being wasted in SAC right now, because they're not a contending team, and he's honestly one of the best bigs in the NBA, like, scoring-wise. Like, he does it all. So, but you got to keep your head, and you can't do that. And you're losing money. You know, a lot of these pro athletes at the end of their career go broke, so you got to account for all your money.
Now it was 101 to 105, Sacramento winning, 42 seconds. What happened was Wiggins drove down the lane. You guys are going to, let me play it for you guys. Wiggins drove down the lane and get a blocking charge, and he disagreed with a blocking charge. So he ran into the stands and threw his mouthpiece. DeMarcus, you can't do that. Listen here, fans. Now he ran and picked the mouthpiece back up into the stands. Granted, this is at the Sacramento Kings arena, so that's why you hear the boos and the awes. But I don't know why he would do that for $25,000. You know, it's not a smart play by himself. Organization got to talk to him, get his head right. Like you said, it's not a good scenery.
It's not a good look, yeah.
Even with the new stadium, you know, it doesn't look good.
And it's already, like, on his rep. Like, he's had a hothead mentality. He's got to chill out.
Well, that concludes our first segment of today. Later on, we're going to be talking about the top performers of the first three games in the NBA season. Kick off, how it started. You know, what were the good games going on? And also the top league performers of the first week. So we will be right back. Thank you for joining us on Penguin Radio. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and we will be right back.
Yeah.
everybody doing? This is DJ Duncan. We are back live on air. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Once again, I have my teammate, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson? In the building. Thank you for joining us once again, Russ.
Thanks for having
Loving
me.
Loving having you. Definitely got some good input being a guard on the Dominican men's basketball team. You know, talking about NBA basketball, inside and out, what they're doing on the court and off the court. Right now, the NBA is hot.
Steaming. On fire.
You know, we got great amount of viewers tuning into these first couple games. Very big for some teams. Very disappointing for others. Let's start with the first game of the NBA. New York Knicks versus Cleveland Cavaliers. Did you watch the game, Russ, or no?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of it.
How did the Knicks compare to what they had, you know, coming into the offseason? You know, they definitely had some great pickups.
Yeah, they had some good pickups. They got Noah, D-Rose, and Courtney Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Those were their three big offseason additions. And for the most early on, they looked real sloppy.
Yeah.
Like, they were turning the rock over, like, playing too fast. But once they, like, settled down, actually, their, like, first unit, their starting five of D-Rose, Courtney Lee, Melo, Kristaps Porzingis, and Noah
mm-hmm.
actually played really well together and, like, had really good offense. But, like, the second their bench went into the game,
yeah,
you could see, like, a huge drop-off of talent and just production. And that's when, like, in that game, actually, the Cavs, like, went on their run and ended up winning the game pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Porzingis played very well.
Yeah, he's nice.
For a second year. He's definitely a player that could be a potential, you know, key player for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and their organization. But I agree. I feel like they flowed pretty well with Melo and Noah. Noah's definitely a guy who can assist and rebound yeah. and, you know, a guy who you can do multiple things on the court when he's playing. So I felt they played good. The Cavs were just too much. You know, LeBron had a triple-double in his opening night.
Didn't he have like 19, 14, and like 12? Something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, but Melo got off, though. I'm going to just throw that out there. I'm sorry. Can't leave him out. Melo was getting
he's
off.
He's trying.
But he just, yeah. It's the East is just... Yeah, LeBron.
So the next game, it was three games, Portland and Utah. This was a very good game. Portland ended up winning 113-104. Lillard dropped 39.
Yeah, he got off. MVP candidate for sure if he could get his team to 50 wins. If he gets his team to 50 wins, he wins MVP. I'm going to just throw that. Bold.
Bold statement.
But he did get off. He did get off. He's off to a hot start.
Yeah, he is coming for heads this season.
He's actually on my fantasy, so I want him to get off. He plays the Warriors tonight. I still want him to go for like 40.
He always has great games, you know, in the Warriors arena.
Yeah, and against the Warriors. He just
doesn't like him.
He has a chip on his shoulder. But yeah, he did get off that game.
It's crazy that was his, you know, dream kind of team growing up, you know, being from Oakland and the Golden State Warriors, you know, with their home court at Oracle Arena.
Yeah. Just like, it's just like how time works, you know? The Warriors just got good, like, right around the time he was, like, blown up from, like, Weber State and, like, coming into the draft, yeah. you know? Like, the Warriors are already kind of good.
Yeah. And the last game.
Yeah, a little off topic. What was the last game?
It was the San Antonio Spurs versus the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yeah. I remember this game very clear.
Leonard gets a career high. Kawhi Leonard gets a career high 35 points.
Yeah, Kawhi looked nice. He was actually, I think he was really just running a drill out there. He was playing like three dribbles or less.
Three dribbles or less. he was trying that.
Yeah. I mean, he was just him pull up jumpers, getting to the free throw line. He's
getting steals,
rebounding. He just was a force, unstoppable. Unstoppable.
I know that was a sad night for you Warrior fans, including Russell. We'll move on to the next day. It was a brand new day.
Birds are chirping.
October 26th. Miami Heat against the Orlando Magic, winning 108-96. Miami Heat needs, you know, a good start, I believe, to help them and their organization to move forward, especially with all these different key players, you know, that they're adding. The loss of Chris Bosh is tough. The loss of Dwayne Wade is even tougher. Two-piece combos that just hit Pat Riley. You know, he needed a good start for this organization. You know, definitely the win against the Magic helped them.
Yeah.
Whiteside notches a double-double, and that's great for them to see that production in their big man that they recently, you know, signed for a big contract as well. So that was good for them to see, you know, them kick off and definitely get the win against the Magic. Next game was the Pacers versus the Dallas Magic. About Dallas Mavericks.
This was a good game. It's like overtime.
Yeah, it was in overtime. Turner, George, Teague all combined for 75 points. You know, Paul George has been said he's a, you know, one of the MVP candidates as well, definitely with his team and what he could do. It was a tough game for Harrison Barnes, though.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's okay with me. But speaking of Paul George, he did say he's ready to take on the king. What do you think of that, Wush, being a LeBron fan, Cavs fan? Do you think he's ready?
I don't think he's ready. Definitely, you know, he's a fun player to watch. You know, 6'9", yeah, can dribble and shoot the basketball and be athletic as he is. He's not ready, you know. Definitely the Pacers are going to come back. I remember – watching against the Heat, they were one of the tough teams against when Roy Hibbert was the man.
When he was nice.
When Roy Hibbert had a crazy outing.
Out of nowhere.
Now he ever, I don't, wow. He, now he's.
I don't think he plays on anywhere right now. He might be in like Charlotte or something. I don't know. Lakers got rid of him.
Yeah, the Lakers, that was bad for the Lakers. But I don't think he can contend with them, you know, again. No, in the East, I think the biggest fear is DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, and Toronto. Yeah.
We just showed we could beat him.
And we just showed we could beat him. No, yeah, that was a statement he made. I think that was just more of like, I mean, that's how he feels, and that was like definitely probably his motivation in the offseason. But, yeah, I just don't think he has like the talent
surrounding him.
To match up with what LeBron has and what also LeBron brings.
I think he really needs – you know, they have Jeff Teague, good point guard. Monte Ellis,
he can score a little bit, yeah.
They don't really have, with Miles Turner and Thaddeus Young, a good front court. It's going to be hard, you know. Definitely, like I said, when they had Roy Hibbert, they gave LeBron problems because they only had Chris Bosh and, you know, not really a
big center.
A skilled big center. They just had, you know, like Birdman and
who else they have? DJ Banga, maybe? No?
Yeah, well, you know, no one really off the bench because, you know, Chris Bosh played that kind of, you know, role for them. So it was tough when they saw a good center in Roy Hibbert. I don't think they have the surrounding, you know, guys like you said they have. Paul George combined had 25 points, shooting 50%, shooting 80% from the three, 4 for 5. 7 for 8 for free throws, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, that's a great stat line coming into the league, trying to make a statement. Also saying, you know, he's trying to be one of the top East contenders.
Yeah.
Definitely proving he can play with, you know, the top people in the league.
But we'll see.
Last game, Brooklyn 117 to Boston 122. You know, this is the most Celtics points in an opener since 1990. So Boston also has some firepower, picked up some good key players with Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford.
Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley's been balling. He's on my fantasy team. And that's why I know this, but he's been balling.
You don't get paid for this fantasy team, though. That's a violation. That would be bad.
No.
It's for fun, right?
Yeah, no, this is for fun.
Okay. Just making sure. I don't want to.
Thank you, yeah.
5-game suspensions.
No 5-game suspensions. No, anyways, but... Miami's chill. But, no, he's just been getting off. Like, he's averaging, like, 20 points a game, and this is someone that is more of, like, a role player.
Uh-huh.
And now he's in, like, a kind of a starting role, and he's been balling. I'm just giving him props. Shouting him out.
Avery Bradley is a hustle player. He was known for his defense a couple of years ago. Now he can be kind of a scoring guard, developing a jump shot, developing a three-point shot could definitely help him benefit in the league. A lot of points for Brooklyn as well. You know, definitely they
– Linsanity.
They might have just been two bad teams just scoring on each other, to be honest.
Yeah. And, I mean, Jalen, shouts out.
Shouts out, Jalen. And finishing up with the last game, Toronto 109-91. Like I said, DeRozan scored 40 in this game of this, you know, home opener for the Toronto Raptors. They're going to be the biggest contender, I feel. And it's still not enough. LeBron James going for seven. Seven in a row. We might make it 10. We're looking that much in the future.
Wow.
So, fast forwarding to the games that have currently been played. Yesterday, Halloween, we had Chicago facing Brooklyn. Chicago is now 3-0 after this win against Brooklyn. Good start for them. Definitely with Dwayne Wade, he's been a key asset in the first couple games. You know, a lot of scoring for them. Definitely. Brooklyn, like I said, is not going to be a good team in the East. Really.
No, they're not.
So it's good to see Chicago, you know, really go. Jimmy Butler needs to be the star player. You know, they can't. I think they're going to have some tension between him and Dwayne Wade of definitely who should be able to score a lot. Now, Dwayne is a veteran and knows how to play with this kind of sort of thing because he's played with LeBron James and Chris Bosh. But it's going to be hard for Jimmy Butler and him to kind of see who needs to go when and allow the other guy to kind of take the load on his shoulder. Last game against the Brooklyn Nets, Jimmy Butler combined for 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. Dwayne Wade had only 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. So I think it really needs to be Jimmy Butler's team for them to be successful. I think Dwayne Wade does need to play a bit of a role player, and Jimmy kind of needs to step up a little bit more because watching him in the past games, he seems a little bit hesitant and kind of passive. Definitely a little too much of his capabilities. He's on the All-Star team or on the USA team this past summer.
Yeah.
So he definitely needs to step into that role a little bit more of taking the whole load on his shoulders and carrying those guys if they want to be successful in the NBA. You know, it's a tough league, and you need a kind of guy who you can depend on night in and night out for them to be successful. And Jimmy Butler, I think, could be that guy. You know, he definitely has, you know, Dougie McDermott, Rajon Rondo, Robin Lopez, Taj Gibson.
Mirotić. He's a shooter.
Mirotić is a good shooter. He could definitely shoot the ball from deep. So he is nice. He definitely has those surrounding players that I think he could be a top, you know, contender, especially in the East. I just feel like Jimmy Butler needs to step up to his role.
Be the man.
A little bit sooner. They are 3-0, so, you know, maybe what he's doing is working. But like you said, it's against the Brooklyn Nets, and it's going to be tough for them. Now on to the next one. DeRozan and Lowry
came up again
with
they both had, like, 30?
They combined for 62 points. So, yeah, they both. I think DeRozan had, like, 30.
33.
32 or 33.
Yeah.
And
service.
Lowry was just short of a 30 piece. So this is big for them. They lost to the Cavaliers the game before, so it was a good, you know, bounce back win for them. Definitely against a tough team in the Denver Nuggets. This was the Denver Nuggets, you know, first game, so it was a tough game for them. They showed that they could play with a top contender in the Eastern Conference. You know, they're gonna be the toughest test for LeBron James, I believe. The Toronto Raptors, another successful season. They had a great outing last year with their fan base. They have a huge fan base.
Shouts out to Drake.
And DeRozan. From SoCal. No, he's loving it in up there in Vancouver and Toronto and Canada. Now the next game was Atlanta against Sacramento. Atlanta ended up winning 106-95.
Jowden.
Atlanta is 3-0. Ooh. You know, this is big for them. They just actually announced that they're going to be building a new stadium, you know, for them, which is good for their organization. It could definitely bring much more revenue, much more population, a stronger fan base. They have a very good, loyal, you know, a lot of teams rep. Yeah. You know, the Hawks and do like them.
And Atlanta's cool.
Atlanta is a good place.
Yeah, so it'd be good, yeah. New stadium, new life, good team. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to support their area, I guess, put on for Atlanta.
With Dwight Howard.
Wow, yeah.
So that game, Dwight Howard had 18, 11, and one assist. Very good outing, double-double. Paul Millsap had 13 and 14. Paul Millsap is nice. Kyle Korver had 17 points. You know, a key role player for them.
Burner.
Just like kind of Chicago is having, I feel like they don't really have a top player and, you know, controlling the offense. Dennis Schroeder, excuse me. He can really control the offense and doesn't really need to score a whole bunch. But they're going to be having trouble, you know, having a go-to guy. Kent Bazemore. Shout out your boy.
Hey, can't be more.
So it's going to be tough for the Atlanta Hawks to kind of find their identity, and they need to do it fast. So
got to figure it out.
It's going to be tough for them. So recapping the top games, you know, we're going to take a little break here, going into commercial. But finishing up, we have top performers who won, you know, the awards for the NBA of being the, you know, Western and Eastern Conference player of the week, and the games going on tonight. We're going to give you what's going on, where to watch them, and how you could tune in. Once again, this is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce here with Russell Wilson. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Thank you, everybody, for taking that quick commercial break. This is DJ Duncan. You're live on The Bounce on air. This is Tuesdays from 4 to 5. You're doing anything, come check us out. Live on air with us, we have Russell Davis in the building.
Russell Wilson.
Thank you, Russell, for joining us. It's been a good show so far. You know, talking about NBA basketball, what's happening around the league. With the league just starting, it's been crazy. Definitely some crazy outings by players. Anthony Davis, 50 points, followed by like 46. James Harden, 17 assists.
9 in the first quarter.
Wow, like they said he was going to be the point guard.
I guess he can run point.
I guess he can run point, he said. So the top performers from the NBA, LeBron James and Russell Westbrook, named NBA Players of the Week.
Shouts out to them.
It's been a crazy week for both of them, leading their teams to 3-0. James helped the Cavs 3-0 week behind averages of 21 points, 10 assists, and 8.3 rebounds.
Sheesh.
Opened the season on October 25th with a triple-double, like we said before.
Like you said.
In the rematch of the Toronto Raptors, James had a 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists in a 94-91 win. Crazy stat line. You know, Westbrook led the Thunder to a 3-0 week, league-leading 38 points, 11.7 assists, 12.3 rebounds, posted 50 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists in an overtime win against the Phoenix Suns. He's the first NBA's first triple-double with 50 points since Kareem. He added another triple-double on October 30th with 33 points, 16 assists, and 12 rebounds in a win over the Los Angeles Lakers. Westbrook is the first player to record two triple-doubles in the first three games since Magic Johnson.
Since Magic. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Also the first person to average 100 points, or to tally 100 points, 30 rebounds, and 30 assists in the first three games. He's making stats. He said he was going to have a season. I said it before, I have it on file, on flash drive, that he was going to be the MVP of this year, earlier this year. Other nominees for the Western Conference Players of the Week was Paul Millsap, Avery Bradley, Kyrie Irving, Andre Drummond, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, and DeMar DeRozan. You know, with the numbers that these guys are putting up, especially Anthony Davis, I think, you know, they need to win, first of all, because Anthony Davis got the 50 points, but he lost, you know, both times. But you definitely need to have your teams win, in a sense, with these numbers to get you this award of being the player of the week for the NBA. So those are our first NBA players of this season of to be players of the week. Now let's talk about the games that are going on tonight, Russ. Right now we got Cleveland at Houston, 85-78 in the third quarter. What's going on with that game? You know, who's going crazy? You know,
James Harden. I think he has like 22-9.
Already. Wow. You know,
Kyrie has like 21-3. Those two are going at it at the point guard position, so that's probably a fun matchup.
Yeah, so
with some handles and some Euro steps.
It's probably a good game on NBA TV. You know, if you have League Pass, definitely
check it out.
You know, tune in.
But if you got Comcast, it's bad.
It's bad for you if you have Comcast.
The on-campus Comcast.
It might be showing. You might want to check. At the end of the third quarter, it is 85-81, so it's a good game, you know, heating up. Second game of the night, we have Philadelphia 76ers against the Orlando Magic. Philly is currently winning 46-32, you know, behind Joel Embiid. Both teams are winless right now. Orlando is 0-3. Philly is 0-2. They need to win Philly in the first game, it was a good game for Philadelphia. It was a good game. You know, Joel Embiid showed that he could play in the NBA. He's a bit of a goofball, which I like about him. You know, he's funny. But they need a win. You know, it looks like they're on pace to get one in here, in this win.
I think they win this game, actually.
Against the Magic?
I think this is the game they win. But I just seen Aaron Gordon hit like a double pump, like 360. on the fast break.
Wow. Aaron Gordon has 4 points, so one of those.
So one of those was the 360. Was the 360. And they down.
Sorry for that.
We're just trying to roast. Low key.
I laughed too loud. Probably went blaring in your ears. My bad. Aaron Gordon had 4 points right now, and one of those was a 360. Kind of double pump.
Double pump. It was nice, though.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Serge Ibaka has 6 points.
No, he doesn't.
No 360s.
What quarter is it?
This is the end, almost the second half. It's the second quarter. 6 minutes and 58 seconds remaining.
He's got 6 points. Okay.
So, he's getting there. He's getting there. Evan Fournier has 3 points. They need him to definitely step up. Joel Embiid has 8 points, 4 rebounds.
Nice. Has he taken a three?
No, he has not taken a three yet.
Okay.
I heard they advise him that he shouldn't. But he's probably going to do it anyways. And also, we have the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Indiana Pacers. Indiana is currently winning in the second quarter with 10 minutes remaining, 32-24. The Lakers,
I was gonna say up 10.
The eight. Lakers are 1-2. The Pacers are as well 1-2.
I'm gonna say this about the Lakers. I was watching the Lakers, and I think they're kind of nice. Like they
had a good game against Houston.
Damn, that's the game I was talking about.
Yeah,
I mean they had a good game, but you see the potential.
I definitely saw the potential in the upcoming years.
Deloading looked nice.
He was cocky too. He was loving it.
But he's still a snitch.
He's still a snitch. And Brandon Jennings.
And Brandon Jennings don't like snitches.
So don't be a snitch around that Brandon Jennings. It is second quarter. Your boy D'Lo only has 2 points.
Oh.
Off of 2 shots. No assist.
Oh.
He's not affecting the game right now, Russ.
He's got to find a way to affect the game. He's got to get his teammates going. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, so it's early in the game. You know, they could definitely – Meta World Peace has not entered yet. You know, we're still waiting on him to show up because they signed him. They shouldn't have.
They should have took Jabari Brown.
Why would they sign Meta World Peace? Do you think it's kind of a – they needed a guy in the –
veteran presence.
Yeah,
but he got like in a fight.
Right veteran presence.
But he got like in a fight, like a huge fight. I guess like the Pistons and like the fans like back in the day.
That was
a long time ago. And that was intense.
Malice in the Palace.
That was intense. But now he's like supposed to be mentoring.
We might talk about that next show.
Hey.
Malice in the Palace. That would be a good topic to cover. Definitely what it did. Definitely what the league had to recover from afterwards.
Yeah. Turned it upside down.
Interesting topic. Thank you for that, Russ.
No problem.
Tune in next week, Tuesday, 4 to 5. Listen. To Malice in the Palace. Now, finishing up for the NBA, we have the Miami Heat facing Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
The Detroit Pistons versus the New York Knicks.
Okay.
New York Pelicans. New Orleans Pelicans.
Ooh.
Versus the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay, the Brow versus the Greek Freak.
Ooh.
Ooh. Pav.
That might be a matchup of the night. Definitely a matchup of the night.
Stat line fillers.
Memphis versus Chris Dunn.
Versus Chris Dunn.
And the Timberwolves.
Ooh, Cat.
Rubio is currently out, so Chris Dunn will get his chance to start. This is big for him.
For the kid.
He was good at Providence, am I correct?
He's a lottery pick.
Am I right? Yeah.
He's nice.
He's an athletic player, shoot the ball. definitely get out in the lanes for you. He's going to be good. You know, this is a good start for him. Definitely can show if he could play in the league or not.
This is actually, like you said, this is a big game for him just because, like you said, Rubio's out. So this is good for the organization and for himself to see, like, maybe this is, like, the right marriage. And no. Rubio's on his way out.
We will see. No, we will see. Then we have the Utah Jazz versus San Antonio Spurs. 3-0 San Antonio.
They're nice. They're always nice. Honestly, since in my lifetime, the Spurs have been really good.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, all I see from the Spurs is, like, winning.
It's wild. And no one really cares, still.
And no one really cares. Like, they're kind of just over it. They're just like, yeah, the Spurs are just going to be good every year. They're kind of, like, over it.
They're just like, yeah, we'll give them wins.
Like, they'll even, like, talk it down, like, ah, no, like, they just got, like, Kawhi, like, they lost Duncan, and, like, they come out 3-0, like.
LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol, like, it wasn't even any, that much reaction when they got LaMarcus Aldridge.
Like, they're, they're just good. Good organization, just good talent. They just got great talent over there.
They're definitely doing it right.
They're doing it right.
Last game of the evening, we have Damian Lillard coming at Stephen Curry.
Coming at the light skin boy,
the babyface assassin,
the three god.
What's your prediction on that game tonight, Russ?
It's biased right now. Of course, I'm gonna go with the Warriors, but man, Portland and Dame is like just playing the Warriors. They're is both just a bad mix.
They're both 2-1.
Well, one's leaving 2-2.
One's leaving 2-2, and one's leaving 1-3.
And I'm saying Portland's leaving 2-2, but. Honestly, I think it can go either way because Dame is in the Warrior playing the Warriors is just a bad mix. He's just gonna get off. I think he might have a 30 piece.
Wow.
He might have like 35 and 6.
35 and 6.
Yeah, he's gonna take it to Curry.
Yeah, he's definitely. We've seen him, you know, be aggressive at the Warriors.
And McCollum, I think McCollum's gonna get off too. Ooh. For like 22
from downtown.
He's got game. I need Clay to wake up. See, he gave me started. He gave me started.
Baby. I need Clay to work out too, you know, for the fantasy.
Which we don't get paid for.
Which we don't get paid for, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Oh, speaking of that and, like, how that's a whole issue, Ben Simmons came out and said some crazy things about the NCAA and, like, athletes.
What did he
Should we share? Yeah, he was just – obviously, it's the same thing that – a lot of the other athletes feeling that he said an explicit word. I won't quote him, but it's basically that athletes deserve to get paid. I mean, they're at a way bigger school. Like, this has nothing to do with us, but I'm just saying, like those big schools. And he just made a big point about how he thinks that college athletes should get paid.
So he said Ben Simmons wasted a year at LSU and exposed the NCAA like never before. You know, wow. He said that he didn't need basically to go to a college to go to the NBA. He knew he was going to go to the NBA. He could have played overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Jennings. Could have worked with a personal trainer a few hours a week while playing NBA 2K for hours. This is his statements. Could have played pickup ball at a public park. This is strong statements. I definitely feel like a guy in his shoes kind of has, like, a right.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's going to the league. He knows he's going to be successful. He knows if he does everything right and he doesn't get injured.
No, I agree. Like, even a couple weeks ago, I don't know if this is going over, but a couple weeks ago, Nigel Hayes, he, like, entered the draft but didn't get drafted, so he went back to school. He goes to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And at College game day on national TV, he had a sign with his Venmo account saying, like, Venmo me money for food.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like, and that was like a big thing, again, going back to like athletes getting paid. I think like you said, like for players and like schools on that like high of a platform, like Alabama, those football players, all they do is like eat, sleep and breathe, like win football games. Yeah. And like those players are winning the games. You feel me? Like, those players are winning the games being coached by, but they're out there doing the production. Yeah. Coaches always say, I wish I could be out there with you guys.
Yeah.
So right there, again, there's that understanding that the players are out there winning, bringing in those huge fans, all that money for that stadium. all the merchandise, all those jersey numbers that are worn by those players out there playing, mm-hmm. don't get a cut of that. Like, this goes back to like the Fab Five and all that.
Yeah.
But they're just on a higher platform, and they have a good point. But then it just gets fishy when like players want to like stunt and like they got the newest Jays talking about like they need to get Venmo'd money for food. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know everyone comes from like different backgrounds, different situations, but it's fishy. And I agree with that. Those athletes at that level, that I think they do need to get paid something.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just, again, like other people, like other arguments see it as like, okay, you get a free education, all this. But I don't know. A lot of those people come from like poverty. Like, they don't even have money, you know, at home.
To work with,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like their family.
Definitely.
So it's just, that's just touchy. And
definitely a topic.
But yeah, I just thought I'd share.
To go into. I actually wrote a paper on it.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that. Hey.
It was
schooling.
15-page paper on why Division I athletes should be paid.
Check it out.
No, it's not on any archive or anything. But so that's our show today. You know, finishing up, we want to talk about our Dominican pangs real quick. Women's basketball, Dominican men's basketball heading off, you know, starting their seasons within, you know, the next 15 days. Next 10 days for us.
Yeah.
We start off at SF State playing San Luis Lost.
Next Friday,
November 11th, if you're in San Francisco or nearby.
Around 5 p.m. Come check us out.
5 p.m. Come check us out at SF State. And the following day.
I guess they call it the Swamp.
The Swamp, the Gator, the Gatorland.
Hmm.
The next day we will be playing SF State.
In their swamp
at 7:30.
So, again, if you're in the city around 7 p.m., come check us out.
If you're not, it's totally cool. Come check us out November 16th for the first home game against number 6 in the nation, I believe.
Chico State.
We will be taking on them.
It's not like, come check us out. It's like you actually got to come. I'm telling you to go. I'm telling you to come to the game.
Russ is telling you to go.
So
you,
go.
You heard it here first on The Balance. This is DJ Duncan. I'd like to thank you guys for joining us today. Great show, great topics. Thanks for coming on, Russ.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
You're listening to DJ Duncan. Check me out next week, Tuesdays, 4 to 5, on The Balance. You're listening to Penguin Radio. This is radio.dominican.edu. Have a great day.